You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me to Psalms 37. Psalms just meant praises. That's what they are. There's 150 of them. Awesome psalms. And they're uplifting. And, you know, David was real. Most of them are written by David. Of course, there's some written by other authors, but most of them are written by David. And he's real honest. David, many times in there, would just, he'd kind of whine a little bit, you know. But it always fascinated me about when he'd start whining about something, or, you know, I want to say a little, you want a little cheese with that wine? You know, he'd just be whining about this and complaining about this. He'd pull it around. He'd finally come back around and start trusting God. But they're very, very transparent. The Psalms are just real honest. And, you know, we go through things. How many of you know that? And we feel pain and we feel anger and bitterness and those kinds of things. They're wrong. We're not supposed to be angry. We're not supposed to be bitter. But we have to deal with it. Got to deal with it. And you don't ever want to get mad at God. God's not your problem. I've heard some preachers say, go ahead and vent. Just go ahead and holler and get mad at God. Do whatever. Just be honest with Him. Well, I think you ought to be honestly respectful to God.
Yes.
And I think you'll be honest about the fact that if you're mad, it's your problem, not God's. Hello. Okay, that went over real big. I don't think you need to vent to God. I think you need to repent to God. And if you're having trouble, be honest that you're having trouble, but ask God to forgive you.
Amen.
Hello. It's not okay to holler at God unless you're praising Him. That's all right. He didn't mind that. He wants us to shout then. Amen. You know, sometimes you get in a service like ours, it's kind of loud, you know, and it's kind of exciting. People are dancing and lifting their hands and shouting and clapping, and, you know, and some people don't like it. That's okay. I mean, we're not everybody's cup of tea. That's fine. But we believe we're scriptural in this respect, that the Bible says shout to the Lord and clap your hands and says dance and all those things. Some people say, well, why do you do all that? Why do you holler so loud? God's not deaf. Well, I like to say this. God's not nervous either. You know, He loves it when you shout and dance and clap. In fact, there's going to be a lot of noise in heaven.
That's right.
Amen. On a positive side. Now, we don't want to turn that over to the negative and start hollering and complaining to God in that respect. We need to get back to believing and trusting God. We deal with these issues. We have bitterness. We have anger. Those things happen. But you know, God's not at fault. Amen.
That's right.
Psalm 37. Found it? I know you're thinking, what are you preaching on, Pastor? Well, I'm trying to figure that out myself. Stay with me. Let's go there together. Amen. Psalm 37, verse 1, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. Everybody say, don't fret.
Don't fret.
It's almost been like the 11th commandment, thou shalt not sweat it, you know. And the 12th one is, thou shalt be flexible. Blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be bent out of shape. Hello. So, if you go through life just being fretful about everybody that's doing everything wrong, and maybe even doing wrong to you, you're taking on a lot of pain that you're not supposed to be taking on. You're taking on a lot of trouble you're not supposed to be taking on. You say, well, I don't do that. Oh, nobody complained about the gas company jacking the price up 10 cents yesterday? I know you didn't complain about that, did you? I did right before the men's breakfast while I was at the gas pump getting gas. The indignity of rising the price. I mean, it's the same gas in the tank, and they raise it 10 cents because it's a hurricane. Dealing off my pain. Ooh. Then you start getting upset and mad and envious, and, you know, that didn't do one bit of good. You know, God will still supply your needs if you'll trust Him. Let God deal with that. You trust God, you get out of that realm and that area of fretting and worrying and being envious about the way the government's going, the way the oil prices are going, or whatever the case may be. Fret not yourself about evildoers. Do not be envious of workers of iniquity. I know what you're thinking. Boy, I'm telling you, I'm getting with that, Pastor. These oil companies, they are workers of iniquity. That wasn't what I was trying to label them. I'm just using that as an example. So don't walk out of here. I love my pastor. He thinks the oil companies are the workers of iniquity. I may think that, but I'm not going to say that in this pulpit, okay? God bless the oil companies. Lord, they need it. Do something with them. But you know what? I don't have to fret. That's the good news. You feel like you're in a box sometimes. You feel like you're tied up, you're trapped. There's nothing you can do. You know, the government's raising taxes, goodness gracious, and they're bailing people out, and I'm having to pay for that, and the gas price is going higher, and hurricanes are coming, and this one, they ought to be going down on the price to help us out. They're making us pay more. And see, all this is going through your head, and you're just getting tied up in knots, and you're getting bitterness is and you're ruining your life. Plus, you're paying high prices. Hello? And God says, chill out. Kind of. I mean, he kind of says it that way. Fret not. Fret not. Fret not. Fret not. Fret not. See, we need to not fret. Amen? Fret not because of evildoers, for the nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass. There's one I'm standing on for those oil companies. No. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying... I'm trying to get out of this hole I've buried myself in here, okay? Stay with me. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. It never pays to sin. It never pays to do wrong. If somebody's doing you wrong, pray for them. That's what you need to do, amen, that they repent and turn around, because if they don't, they're going to be cut down. Because sin will always destroy you. It'll always take you further than you want to go. Are you with me? It'll always ruin you. It's always a bad deal. It's never a good deal. I don't care how good it looks up front. If it's wrong now, it's wrong down the road. It's going to hurt you down the road. And sin, when you look at it from the biblical perspective and you extrapolate, use a big word, you stretch it out over the years, sin destroys you. It destroys families. It destroys communities. It destroys countries. Sin is a reproach to any people. It's not good. Just not good. Maybe a lot of fun right off the bat. I was lost. I know all about that. It was fun. It was to party, to do this, to do that, to be, to assert yourself and to be self-centered. But you know what? You lose in the long run. You really, really lose in the long run. If you'll trust God and be kind, love people, help people, live for God, it'll bless you down the road. Your kids will come up and serve God and thank you. Your grandchildren will be raised up and serve God and thank you. I think about it. I say this often. Ken and I are talking about this with Chris and Jonathan. Of course, I've got five children. And I didn't have any trouble with Chris and Jonathan, but I'm not going to talk about the girls right now. We're family. And sometimes, you get frustrated with things that happen from time to time. Come on. Are you with me? We love each other, but, there's always issues with family. There's always issues with church. Church is the same way. We're a big family. God didn't say you wouldn't ever have problems. He said you had to work them out. He just said you had to believe. You had to trust God and so on and so forth. And one thing I always say, about Chris or Jonathan, boy, y'all don't twist this now. I love you guys. You know that, okay. I've told Kendall, I said, one thing for sure, I've never had to go get them out of jail. Never had to get them out of rehab, And hey, if you've had to get your kids out of jail, thank God you were able to do that. Pray for them. They can turn around. Well, I wasn't talking about the girls. The girls go, you never got me out of jail either. Okay. No, I didn't get them out of jail either. Okay. But you know what? If you've been there, you've been in jail, there's hope for you. I've been in jail. My dad's got me out of jail. My dad put me in jail one time. I was worthy. I was lost and undone. Are you with me? So thank God for that. But I tell you what, when you serve God, it blesses your family. It blesses your grandchildren. It blesses the community. Amen? And just don't worry about the world. Don't go that route. You don't have to sin to prosper. You don't have to sin to make it. You don't have to get the approval of the world. Just serve God. Serve God and love people. Right. Well, people to think you're kind of strange. Oh, listen, they think you're strange anyway. They really do. There's people that think you're crazy. I don't care what you do. So why not just do the right thing and just let the chips fall where they may? Amen? Psalm 37. They shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Don't be one of those, and don't fret about those. Pray for those people. Pray for people in sin. Pray for, how many times do you get on your knees when you're watching the TV and the news comes on and something happens maybe in the government, or something happens with oil companies, or something happens with our economy? I mean, instead of hollering at the TV screen like it hears you anyway, how many times do you get on your knees and pray? Does it drive you to your knees? Does it drive you to pray and believe God for change and to lift up people, to turn them around? Do you sometimes gloat when something bad happens to somebody that you don't like, or maybe a political party you're not of that persuasion or whatever? See, we got to watch our heart. We're Christians. We're believers. It doesn't mean we're naive. We know what's going on. We know what's right and what's wrong. We have opinions and so on. But we have a mandate from God to believe God and trust God and pray. Amen? And chill out. I'm not the world. I can't be going around like everybody else and just yeah about everything in the world. We ought to be praying and believing, trusting, lifting up. You know, our country needs prayer. It needs prayer. Our economy needs prayer. And it's not going to come from the White House. We've got an election coming up. Everybody ought to vote. And you ought to vote your convictions. You ought to vote scripturally, biblically, vote for what's right, vote on issues, and so on and so forth. But, you know, that's not going to change the world. Nobody has that kind of power. I know President Bush did start Katrina, and I kind of like somebody in there that could start storms and stop storms. But anyway, that was a joke, y'all. Y'all didn't get it. But he was accused of starting the storm. It was a Republican ploy, you know. And I was thinking, man, that's the kind of guy I'd want in there. Had the power to start storms and stop. Vote for that. But hello. But we are to pray. Amen?
Amen.
And so the answer doesn't lie in our government. It doesn't lie in the economy, it lies in God. The answer is always in God. Our God shall supply our need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Now, are there things we need to do in the natural? Absolutely. Politically, you bet. No question. We ought to vote for what's right. We ought to do the best we can, but we always have our trust and our faith in God. Amen?
Amen.
In fact, that's what he says in the third verse after all that. He says, trust in the Lord. That'll keep you from fretting. That'll keep you from being envious. Amen? That'll keep you from getting all upset when somebody's doing something wrong that affects you, or maybe they're prospering and you're not, and you're doing the right thing and they're not, and they're doing better than you are. And, well, watch your mouth now. Trust the Lord. Amen? Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Trust in the Lord. In fact, that word, that's an interesting word. That is the same word translated bold in Proverbs 28:1 says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. You ever heard that verse? I like that one. The righteous are bold as a lion. In other words, we're not afraid. We don't have anything to fear. We don't fear. The Lord is with us. Amen? The Lord's our light and our salvation. Whom shall we fear? Psalm 27 tells us that. So I don't have to fear what man can do to me. Hebrews 13:5, I believe, says that. Because God's with me. He won't forsake me nor leave me. So I can be bold. Trust is a boldness. Hello? But it's a boldness in God. It's not a boldness in the world. Now, fear and fretfulness and bitterness and enviness, you know, that's kind of a boldness too. You ever seen somebody get real bold about hating something? Now, just think about it. We get bold, we get upset, and we get loud. We get bold about how upset we are. And it's not to say what we're saying is wrong, but I think the upset part is wrong. The fretting part is wrong. The envious part is wrong. No question there's something going on that's wrong here. Hello. But me getting upset doesn't make it better. You get bold when you get upset. And you know what? You get bold when you trust. It's just a different kind of bold. It's a boldness in God. We ought to be bold. We ought to get courageous in our trust when things are going wrong. Trust in the Lord. Be bold. The righteous are bold as a lion. In fact, Proverbs 3:5, same word. It says, Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Be bold in trusting God. Be courageous in trusting God. I mean, when something's going bad and everything's going wrong, and it looks like, you know, you're in a trap, you're in a box, you can't get out, you're wrapped up, you can't make a, you know, I got to go down there and get the gas, they got me over a barrel, there's nothing I can do here, I got to pay for the gas, I got to go get it. Hello. You start thinking like that, see, you feel trapped. Oh, come on, just be bold and trust God. I don't care what gas does, I'm trusting God, God's going to take care of me, hallelujah.
Amen.
The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. Makes me lay down by the green pasture, leads me by the still waters. He restores my soul, leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen. Yes.
See, that's a boldness of trust. That's a boldness of faith. Instead of a boldness of frustration, a boldness of aggravation, a boldness of bitterness and anger, we need to be bold in our trust. Man, that makes me so mad. You know, there's a boldness that comes on with anger. But I tell you what, we need to be developing the boldness of trust.
Amen.
Am I helping somebody?
Amen.
Okay. Hallelujah. So he says, trust in the Lord and do good. Don't get in sin here. Don't compromise your walk with God, your holy living, as it were. Let's just keep doing good here. Let's keep doing what God says. It's working. It sure doesn't look like it, Pastor. Well, it doesn't matter what it looks like. We walk by faith, not by sight. It's working. God said it's working. I'm not going to get in sin here. I'm not going to get, you know, in bitterness and anger and be fretful and worried about this thing. I'm going to be bold and trusting. Bold and doing good. I'm going to keep loving. Keep praying. Amen? When you want to take their head off, keep praying. Keep praying. Amen? Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land. And New King James says, feed on His faithfulness. King James says, and verily thou shalt be fed. I like that. If you trust in the Lord and do good, you will be fed. No matter what gas goes to, no matter what bread goes to, no matter what milk goes to, no matter what the prices are. You know, we've joked about this over and over. Brother Osteen, I remember, of course, this was way back when I was like five. You know, it was years ago. You know, it's in the 70s, I think, you know, when we started going to Lakewood Church, 1975, I think, is when we started going there. Brother Osteen used to say, well, if gas goes to $1 a gallon, my God shall supply all my need according to His riches. Why, if milk goes to $1 a gallon, and we just laugh, it's never going to go that high. There's no way. And it did. And you know what? God did.
Amen.
God supplied our needs according to the riches of glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. But what He was talking about was we've got to trust God. The same thing that He's saying here. Don't fret yourself about all this. Don't get all worried about it. Come on. Chill out. Calm down. You're going to make it. God's not a man He'd lie, or the Son of Man He'd repent. If He said He'd do it, He'll do it. He's the Lord God. He changes not. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His love hadn't changed one bit. His supply hasn't been deplenished. You know, I mean, He has got plenty. He's not on the edge of bankruptcy. The vaults of heaven are overflowing. Hallelujah. Just trust God. Trust God. Do good. God really does want to bless you. You know, Psalms 35, verse 27 says, let them shout for joy that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them continually say, let the Lord be magnified, which takes pleasure in the prosperity of His servants.
Yeah.
That's a good place to shout there.
Yeah.
Woohoo! Let them shout for joy that favor my righteous cause. Well, let me ask you, do you favor God's righteous cause?
Yeah.
Well, we ought to be shouting.
That's right.
Yeah. Woo! Why? Because He takes pleasure in the prosperity of His servant. In fact, it says, let them continually say. Let them continually say, I don't know how I'm going to get the money to put the gas in that car. No, let them continually say, let the Lord be magnified, who takes pleasure in the prosperity of His servant. That's what we ought to be saying. Amen? But you've got to favor His righteous cause, and you've got to get a shout of victory. You know, He told Joshua, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. We all shout, for the Lord has given us the gas. We got it. It's ours. That gas pump's ours. You're mine. Take it out and shout. Amen. Put it in there. Hallelujah. Okay. Be bold. Trust in the Lord. Do good. Dwell in the land and be fed. Amen. I like that. You'll not just be dwelling in the land, but you'll also be fed. If you do good, if you trust God, if you believe God, God will take care of you. He takes care of the sparrows, He'll take care of you. He feeds the sparrows, He clothes the lilies. Come on, you're much better than that. Amen? If He clothes the lilies, which today is, tomorrow's cast in the oven, how much more shall He not clothe you, O ye little faith? If God feeds the sparrows, they don't gather, they don't toil, they don't gather in the barn. Are you not much better than they? That's what Jesus said. He will take care of you. Amen? All you got to do is get your trust level up there. Amen? Get bold in your trust. Get bold in your faith. Bold in your believing. Be bold about what you say about your future on the basis of God's Word. We're often very bold about a negative forecast. We're very bold about a negative prediction. Whether it's us or over our children or over our life. But we need to be bold about the positive. We need to be bold about the promise. Bold about what God says. Bold in our trust. How bold we are. We meet perfect strangers and start complaining about the price of gas. Perfect strangers start talking about how I don't know how we're going to make it. I don't know how young folks are going to make it this day. I don't know how people afford to go out, even go to work. And we just start talking. We never met these people at all. But we're very evangelistic about this. We want to convert them to our doubt and unbelief. Not our faith, but our doubt and unbelief. We want to proselyte some people. Invite them to the first church of doubt and unbelief, you know. It's making converts at the gas pump, you know. Fourth verse. Let's move on before I really get in trouble. It's kind of getting quiet. Y'all are giggling nervously. You're going... Well, we've all done it. Let's just repent. Amen. Fourth verse. Delight yourself also in the Lord. Do you think God died when the gas went up? Nah, He didn't die. He's still around. Aren't you glad you came to church? I told you. You didn't know that. God is still alive. I often say this. God's still alive. Jesus on the throne and all is well with the world. Hallelujah. I'm going to make it. I know the world's in a mess, but I mean, it's okay with me because I'm going to be okay because God is still on the throne. Now, Jesus is still on the throne. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my shepherd. I shall not want. Hallelujah. He takes care of me. He delights in my prosperity. Praise God. He is my Lord and my God, my provider, my protector. Praise God. He blesses me. Amen. And I'm bold in that. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Doesn't matter what I feel like. I'm going to make it. We're going to make it. We're going to prosper. We're not just going to survive. We're going over. You got to get out of survival mode sometimes. Because sometimes you're just trying to get by, and that's all you're believing for. But you're not making any difference. You're not touching anybody's life, and you can make a difference, and you can change. So you can help somebody. You can reach out further. Then you can stretch yourself. You really can. Don't just get comfortable where you are. You know, I remember one time years ago, church was struggling, and we're going through some tough times. We've gone some tough times in this church. I mean, we really have. But God has provided, and He's brought us out. Hallelujah. I remember one year we paid 9 late payments on the building. And I was working 60, 65 hours a week in Dallas. And I took off Wednesdays and Sundays to continue to pastor the church. I mean, it were some tough times. They really were. But we knew this was God. We knew God wanted us to do this. And we just kept believing. And I didn't get up in the pulpit and complain and whine and moan. I never, if you were here during those years, you know I never did that. I never said, if y'all don't give, we're about to go under. People, I'm about to lose my house. I never said that, and I did almost lose my house. I mean, it was into foreclosure and everything, but I kept believing. And I was working. I had 5 kids, and they eat like... Well, anyway. But we didn't play that game. We didn't take those crisis offerings. We didn't get up here and just harangue the people. I knew everybody's doing everything they could. We were trusting God. Besides, I'm the pastor. I'm supposed to get people to believe God and trust God and quote the Word and get them into faith. I can't stand up here and start whining and moaning and complaining. Are you kidding? You get to that point, I need to just sit down and let y'all preach to me. So we went, we went through that. And we kept trusting, kept believing. I remember going in my back door. I thought this was so cruel at the time God do me this way. No, really. I was going in that back door and I was saying, God, I'm trusting you. I'm believing. I'm not going to get out of the ministry. I'm not going to quit the church. I'm not going to quit pastoring. I'm going to keep preaching. You're going to find, I don't care who comes, who doesn't come. I'm going to be preaching. I'm going to be standing on your word. You can trust me to be there. I'm going to stand there. I'm going to preach the word. I don't care who's there or not. I'm going to be served. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Sounded real religious. I walked in the back door, man, just stirred up. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to throw the towel in. And I heard God say to me, not just audibly, but in my spirit, I heard him say, son, you are to be commended for your willingness to suffer for my name. But it sounds like to me you need to believe me for some growth. I said, what? I was kind of proud of myself that I was willing to stand and suffer. But I was not trusting him. Are you with me? I was not trusting him for growth. I was trusting him to be there. To be, you the man. I'm the man. I'm going to be there. You look at me, man. He stood there till the day he died, starved to death, lost his ass, lost everything, but he didn't give up. Write that on my tombstone. He died trying. Oh, boy. Sometimes we think we're so religious, you know. We think we really are. We're in faith, you know, hey, thank God for your commitment. I did hear that. You know, you are to be commended for your willingness to suffer for my sake. But it sounds like you need to believe me for some growth. We need to trust God in the midst of all this that goes on in our world. And you know, we had the hurricane come through. It seemed like everything just piling up. But you know, it's never going to be more than God can handle. It's never going to be more than God can take care of. There's never a crisis that's bigger than God. There's never a mountain on your horizon that he can't solve, that he can't plow over. If you'll trust him. But there's the key. You've got to trust him. You've got to pray. You've got to believe him. Amen. You've got to trust. Third verse. Trust in the Lord. Do good. Dwell in the land. And feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord. And he will give you the desires of your heart. Don't lose your focus. Because really most of what's going on earth is just, they're just distractions is what they are. The devil's trying to distract us off trusting God. This happens and that happens, and all of a sudden we get our eyes on it instead of God. The wind starts blowing, the waves start beating, all of a sudden we start sinking. We're walking on the water fine until we get our eyes off Jesus. That's when we begin to sink. And when Peter walked on the water, he's doing fine until he saw the waves and saw the wind, as if that had anything to do with him standing. That always fascinated me. You know, you ever thought about that? Peter's walking on the water to Jesus. All the rest of these guys are still on the boat. You know, they didn't try anything. We make fun of Peter for sinking, but at least he got out there and tried something. I heard it this way, I'd rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat sitter. But anyway, he's walking, he's fine, and he sees all of a sudden he sees the waves and hears the wind and he starts sinking. Now I want to tell you how ridiculous this is. Do you think if that water was smooth, it'd be easier to walk on? I mean, like that had something to do with him standing on the water. Man, I wish this water was a little smoother. It should be a lot easier to walk on. No, walking on water is impossible, okay, without God, period. And the waves didn't change that one bit. And the wind didn't change that one bit. And nothing that ever went on out there, storms, wind, wave, whatever, was going to change one bit the fact that you're walking because God has called you to walk. And see, we often get that way. When things are going on pretty fine in our life, we kind of think we're behind it, I guess. I don't know. We think we're walking on this water by ourselves. And so when things get a little rough, we start sinking. Because we didn't realize it was always God that kept us up. And if it's God that keeps us up in the good times, it'll be God that keeps us up in the bad times. Are you with me? And that doesn't change. And there's nothing out here that will change that one iota. There's nothing that will happen in this life that will change the fact that the Lord is our shepherd. Get it? But we get to looking at everything and we think we can't make it because of the way everything out here is going. You know what? We shouldn't be looking at that. We shouldn't have had our trust in that anyway. It doesn't matter whether the economy is good or bad. My God supplies my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We ought to be bold in our trust in God. Woo. Does that help you?
Yes.
Think about it. So he says here, trust in the Lord, third verse, and you'll dwell in the land. Delight yourself, fourth verse. Delight yourself also in the Lord. I love that verse. Put him first in your life. Make him your focus. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added to you. Caught on this men's breakfast just yesterday morning. How that God really does want to prosper you in that sense. But he wants your heart. He wants your love. He wants your service. He wants your trust. I think I mentioned this maybe last week. You know, it's the love of money that's the root of all evil, not the having of it. And you cannot serve God in mammon or riches. Matthew 6:24 tells us that. You'll hate the one, love the other. You know, or love the one, hate the other. He didn't say you couldn't have it. He said you just couldn't serve it.
That's right.
Amen? And you couldn't love it. And then in Matthew or Mark 10, where that rich young ruler, he told him to sell everything he had and go give to the poor. He only told one person to do that, incidentally. He ran into a lot of people, but he only told one person to do that because his heart was wrong. His heart was in the money. He went away sorrowful and didn't give it away. Jesus made the statement how hard it was for them to trust in riches. Everybody say trust in riches. He said how hard it was for them to trust in riches to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to go into heaven. But let's back up. A rich man that trusted in his riches. So what God says, there are three things real strongly. I love God, don't love money. Serve God, don't serve money. Trust God, don't trust money. But if God has your love and your service and your trust, you can have all the money in the world. As long as it doesn't have you. Because all through the Bible, we see God blessing people, financially prospering them with riches. Solomon, case in point.
Right.
Where you get in trouble, it's not with money. You get in trouble with your focus and your attention and your service and what you delight in. Mm-hmm. Here he says, delight yourself also in the Lord.
Yeah.
My delight should be in God. My delight is not what's in my bank account. My delight is not the car I drive. My delight is not in the house I live in. My delight should be in the Lord. I should love Him with all my heart, all my soul, all my might. I should trust Him. I should boldly trust God. I should just keep my eyes on Him. As R.W. Shambach said about those sheep that were feeding in the pasture, you know, when they hear the wolf howl, the sheep don't look to see if the wolf's up on the hill. They look up to see if the shepherd's still there. If the shepherd's still there, they just keep eating that grass. Because it doesn't matter about the wolf howling. As long as the shepherd's still there, we're okay. Amen? That's where your delight is. That's where your faith is. That's where your focus is. That's where your trust is. We live in a broken world. It's a messed up world. I mean, it's a fearful place. It's a dark and a fearful place without God. But hallelujah, we're not without God. Amen? We are with Him, and He is with us. And we delight in Him. Hallelujah. We delight in trusting Him. We delight in calling on Him. We delight in talking about His goodness. As you know, Ken shared testimony today. We love to testify. With my mouth, I will make known His faithfulness to all generations. We love talking about how God does great things in our life. Part of the joy and excitement in a crisis, in a mess, is just watching how God does it. It's just amazing how He gets us out of all these things.
Yes.
You know, I love talking about our building, how God's blessed us with people donating and giving things. And we haven't even asked for any money. We haven't even taken an offering for the building. And I hadn't, you know, played those preacher games. You know, when someone talks about, electricity or concrete or buildings or what, I don't go, hey, this is for the Lord now. Hey, you know. Have I done that, Glenn? Do not do that. Glenn's a concrete guy. He knows that. I will not play that game. I will not say, hey, you got to do this cheap now. I don't put print. People have to make money. That's their choice anyway. And just trusting God and not looking at people. We have just trusted God. It's amazing how God has sent people. And people have donated things. I've had people call up and ask me questions about things. And I'm very cautious not to sound like, hey, come on with it. You can do that as a pastor. That's wrong. You can do that just as a Christian when you sound like you're trusting God, but you're given all the details so someone can help you.
Yes. Come on.
We've had prayer requests that we just kind of had to censor a little bit because it was just too detailed. Because if we said all that, I know somebody's going to respond, and we just said they just need to be blessed. They're in the financial problems. Let's pray that God will help them, bless them, and so on and so forth. There's a time for that, and sometimes you can get too detailed, and you're actually trying to play people a little bit. You're not wicked, you're not evil, stay with me. But you have to get, you got to get that con out of you, okay? We all got to deal with it. Y'all receive what I'm saying? We all have to deal with it, but you know, you can tell when it's there. I got pastor friends that they still got a lot of con in them. Got a little mooch in them, you know. A little bit of a user, you know. What we need to be is believers. Trust God. Trust God. Amen. Delight in Him. You know what it says here? Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Man, I love that. That's twofold, and I always like to say it two ways. He'll give you what you desire, or He'll give you desires. Either one's good to me, amen. If He'll change my desires where I only want what He wants, that's fine too. That's a good way to look at it. Or if He gives me what I am desiring, what it is that I'm wanting in life, if I put Him first, He'll bless me. There's no question there. If I trust Him, He'll make a way where there is no way. Doesn't matter if gas goes to a dollar a gallon. Amen? I am believing it would go to the dollar. That's something we ought to be believing, amen? We're going backwards now with that gas price. Hallelujah. Okay, fifth verse. Notice this. It says, commit your way to the Lord. Notice all these things He says to do. Trust God. Delight yourself in God. Then He says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Now, you know, this is a big problem because we often are running and doing things, and we generally get in a mess and we pray God to help us. But what we need to do is commit our way to the Lord first before we do anything.
Amen.
You know, we're often saying, Lord, get me out of this mess. And God's saying, why didn't you just come to me to start with?
Right.
Most cases, He probably said, don't do that.
Yeah.
Hello. We're trying to get God to bless our plans, but we haven't even sat down and got His plans first. If you get His plans, they're already blessed.
Yeah.
You don't have to spend all your time trying to get God to bless your plans. If you would get in your knee, pray, seek God's face, find out His plans, they are already blessed. Hallelujah.
Right.
You know, in churches, I heard this, I thought this was real good. What we need to do is, instead of get God to bless what we're doing, we need to start doing what God is blessing. That went over real big. Find out what He's blessing. Let's do that. Instead of doing a bunch of stuff and saying, God bless this. Now, God, you've got to help me out. I got way out over here out of your will. I need you to help me. No, we need to back up and get back in His will. Amen. Find out what He wants us to do. So commit your way to the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. You know, Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your way to the Lord. So shall your thoughts, commit your works to the Lord. So shall your thoughts be established. I like that. If you'll turn it over to God, put it in His hands. Everything. Everybody say everything.
Everything.
That means your family, your marriage, your business, whatever's going on in your life, you need to commit it to Him. How many times have you been in the middle of a mess and realized you hadn't prayed about it? You know, thank you. Like, I got one honest yes. I've done it. How many times have I done that? That I'm praying. I'm thinking, my Lord, I should have prayed about this days ago. I'm doing all trying to figure all this out, and I ain't even committed it to God. You got to learn to commit to God. Trust God. Don't be swayed by the television. Don't be swayed by the news. Don't be swayed by the weather. Don't be swayed by circumstances. Keep your focus right here. Let's trust the Lord. Amen? Let's trust God. Let's delight in God. Let's commit our way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will bring it to pass. If you commit yourself to God, He'll bless you. He'll fulfill your destiny. He'll fulfill your purpose and your plans. In fact, He has plans and purposes for you. He's just waiting you to come over here. Amen? And get in line with that. He says He'll... I'll read a couple more verses. We'll close out. We're not going to finish the psalm, obviously. Unless you don't want to stay till about 5 o'clock. That, I guess that's a no. sixth verse. Pretty sharp. I picked up on that pretty quick. I could tell. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Man, I love that. If you'll do these things, people will see Jesus in you. And God will bring it forth. He'll bring forth your righteousness as the light, your justice as the noonday. Instead of your anger and your bitterness and No, no, no. They'll see something different in you. They'll see someone trusting God. They'll see somebody at peace in the midst of the storm. They'll see a light shining through you. They'll see Jesus in you. Hallelujah. I like that. If you back it up even to that word trust, bold, which means boldness. It's the Hebrew word batak, which means boldness. It's a bold trusting God. You know, when they realized Peter and John had been with Jesus in Acts 4 chapter, when they saw their boldness, I love that. I mean, they were doing all this, you know, they were trying to intimidate Peter and John for preaching there in the temple, and several thousand got saved and a crippled man got healed, and you know, and they won't know what this is all about. And they said, we're not careful to answer you in this. And filled with the Holy Ghost, Peter stood up and told them that it was the name of Jesus that made this man whole. And he was bold in his trust in God and his faith in God, and bold in his witness to God. And it says when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they had been with Jesus. Man, that's powerful. We're living a day where people are fearful about the future. They're fearful about the economy. They're fearful about this and that. You know, but when they see the boldness, the faith, the confidence in us, we're trusting God. You know what? God's my my supply. He's my protector. He's my provider. He's going to take care of me. Hallelujah. He always has. He always will. I don't know how, but He always has. I walk by faith and not by sight. I'm not going to be worried about this. Praise God. I'm not going to sweat it. I'm not going to fret it. Hallelujah. They see something. There's something there. God brings forth your righteousness like the noonday and your justice. He brings it out. And people see another way. Totally different way of thinking. Wow, new concept. Trust God. Never thought about that. God can actually move in the midst of this. Yes, He can. God's not surprised by it. Not at all. You never hear God saying, uh-oh. He doesn't do that. He knows everything's going to happen. And if you trust Him, He'll help you. He'll bless you. Amen. And the world will see that. Seventh verse, I got to close this out. We'll just close out with this. This good?
Yeah.
I know the eighth verse is pretty good too. But rest in the Lord. Everybody say rest. That's the only way you're ever going to get there. You're going to have to do the rest of that before you can rest. Amen. You're going to have to do these other steps before you ever reach a rest in your life. And it's work. You have to work at it. You have to change your reaction. You know, how do you react when things happen? You got to train yourself and create habits of trusting God and believing God. You know, I don't know everything that's going to happen in my life. I say that often. Who knows? Goodness, we're not seers. We can't see the future. You know, little by little, God reveals things to us. We don't know what's going to happen every day. But I do know this. I'm going to trust God. Whatever happens, I'm going to trust God. I know enough that I've done that enough to where I know I can do that in the future. So whatever comes, whatever happens, I'm going to trust God, and God's going to come through because He always has. And He always will. Amen? So I just develop that attitude of resting in God. I can rest, and it says rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Have some patience about you. Amen? Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. Amen? Trust God. What do you do as an alternative to fretting? Trust. What do I do as an alternative to being envious? Trust God and delight in Him. Deep message. Hello. I know you had to go home and chew on this. You probably had to write a lot of notes. Never heard that before, but trust God. Trust God. It is very profound. Just two words, trust God. But you can do it. Amen? In these times we're living in, He hadn't changed. In fact, it doesn't matter what the times do, God remains the same. He can always be trusted. Amen?